You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey everyone, happy, happy Saturday. I'm Samantha McLean from Elite Agent Magazine, here today again to give you a quick rundown of what happened during the week in real estate in Australia and some of it around the world. And I'm joined today again by Mark Edwards. How are you going, Mark?
Yeah, good, thanks, Sam.
Okay, so let's kick it off with the sports section, the auctions.
Yeah, go to the back page.
Let's go to the back page first. So how did we wrap up last week in terms of auctions?
Volumes were up, which is indicative of the spring selling season, I suppose. You know, so 10% up from previous week. The preliminary clearance rate, which are the numbers that come in on Sunday morning, they were pretty much line ball with the prior week, with just over 70%. And we saw that, again, they settled back down to just under 67%. So, in fact, 66.9. So it's exactly the same as the prior week. So once all those final numbers come in, it's settling down to that 60, mid, or high, you know, mid to high 60s. Interestingly, the same time last year, less auctions, but the clearance rate was 76.2. So it is showing that the market is softening. This weekend,
This weekend's looking pretty good, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, 2,600 properties are going to auction over the weekend. So again, indicative of the spring selling season and more stock coming on the market, or actually going under the hammer.
So Victoria is looking to be pretty busy on the auction front, and that's probably a good place to start some of the news for the week. So new data from the REIV is suggesting that a postcode may be worth more than a street name. So remember, when we were young, our parents used to tell us to go and buy the worst house in the best street, and now the REIV released something on Monday saying, or Sunday rather, might have even been Friday last week. It's been a long week, people. But, so now that they're saying, that the actual postcode may be worth more than the street name. Now, I have something to say about this.
You got a theory, do you?
I have something to say about this, is that there are just a lot of long streets in Melbourne. Let's take Chapel Street, one of my favourite streets in Victoria, for example, that passes through South Yarra, Paran, St Kilda. There's probably more.
Basically just reverses Melbourne.
Yeah. So I think there's a bit of stating the obvious there, but, quite interesting, I guess.
Absolutely.
In a way.
Yep.
So that's in Victoria. The Purple People, Purple Bricks, they've branched out.
Into the States.
Yeah, so
they've launched in obviously one of the most lucrative markets in the world, obviously behind the Australian capitals, which seem to be pushing it up there. But they've launched in California and Los Angeles, so be interesting to see the take up over in that neck of the woods.
We know that the market is quite different in the US than it is in Australia. First of all, don't cry anyone, but there's about 6% commission involved in the buying and selling. There's two sides, so it's 3% each. But if you're an agent that has got a database of buyers and you can list the property and sell the property, you're looking somewhere around 5 to 6%. Pretty healthy. So anyway, they're sort of hoping that they can offer a flat fee structure over there, and that the market even in LA is quite lucrative, so it makes sense that they would go over there. Apparently they're going to be spending a ton in TV commercials and all that sort of thing, so I guess it's a case of watch this space.
Yeah, absolutely. And also Jonathan Liu from the old founder of Airtasker,
another launch.
Yeah, they've launched a startup called Soho, and so he's basically calling it the LinkedIn for property.
I'm calling it Follow It After Follow It.
Follow It After Follow It.
Well, Follow It's under maintenance, but it's been under maintenance for a while. So remember that, Follow It kind of launched with a really huge standard, Eric, a couple of years ago. I'm not quite sure what's happened there, but, Yeah, so this Jonathan Louie is quite interesting. So what he's sort of saying is that this new service, Soho, is like a digital doorknob. I'm not seeing any resemblance to LinkedIn for property here at all. So what it is that you can list your property for free on this site if you're a homeowner, and then someone might approach you and say, I'm interested in buying your home. Are you into it? Now, there was some sort of crazy statistic he quoted us in the article, because Azul actually spoke to him. Apparently, Louie did some research across the country and asked 1,000 homeowners if they'd be interested in listing their homes, which are the primary place of residence for them, for free, with no strings attached. And staggeringly, 51% of them said yes. So that probably means, you know, like one thing is that, you know, like if they're sort of... There are people out there that would be keen if they weren't sort of, you know, I guess under the spotlight continually, that would be interested to know what somebody else might want to pay for their home if they could find it on an app like this Soho thing. So I think it's very similar to Follow It. I don't know whether there was a charging model or anything like that. But at the moment, Mr. Louie, I think that's how you say it, Louie, I'm not sure, but he's sort of saying that, you know, that they're not trying to make money out of this service or anything like that. So, you know, but that doesn't last very long usually. unless,
but
you know.
It's interesting though, like you got to wonder, you know, so what does no strings attached mean? Does it mean, you know, so you're going to be, you know, getting... unsolicited or getting solicited offers for your place, and then basically go, no thanks, not ready to sell at this particular point in time.
Yeah, well, that's it. And then, you know, like when you are ready to sell, then you're probably going to go and get someone else to negotiate for you anyway. So I think it is kind of interesting, you know, what he's doing in that space.
I think it's also an opportunity where it's not, I think in the article he actually said that it's not an opportunity for creating a for sale by owner environment. It's also enabling the agencies to get in contact with prospective sellers. So
yeah.
it's another way for people to come to market without actually, going through the interrupters.
Yeah, the portals, maybe even too. Speaking of ways to advertise property, Facebook's marketplace function, which is something that, you know, was rolled out throughout Facebook's users over the last few months. I think I was one of the last to actually get the button to allow me to sort of have a look at, you know, what was for sale in my sort of general friend stroke geographic area. But a lot of people, you know, have already sort of tweaked to the fact that they can either advertise a property for rent on Facebook Marketplace or even advertise a property for sale. And, you know, I suppose, you know, Facebook is sort of making a lot of moves in that area. We saw at Inman earlier this year that they were sort of looking at a listings product where you could sort of actually list a property on Facebook. And also now they're talking about expanding that capability, sort of the ability to have sell basically houses and cars on Facebook directly. And it looks like they're not stopping there either. Like they're actually going to be showing job postings, like which they've never done before. And they've recently sort of started offering daily deals as part of a new arrangement with eBay. So they are curious bedfellows, right? Because eBay is a buy and sell marketplace, and Facebook are looking to buy, you know, they're a buy and sell marketplace, although they're only an advertising arm for it at the moment. You can't actually change money where you can change money on eBay. So, you know, interestingly, I kind of thought that, you know, like what Facebook would probably look at doing is keeping the transaction within Facebook, but maybe not. That's not in Australia yet, but, you know, generally what they do is they test things in other parts of the world, and then we get them here. So, you know, like you never know, you might be able to buy a house mark on Facebook, or, you know, maybe I'll be looking for something other than fake eyelashes or a or an IKEA lounge.
Now, look, I think so the usage of the platform is just increasing continually. I think there's 18 million items for sale in the US now. They've expanded to another 17 countries over the last few months, so it certainly is on the rise. And even their VP for growth is not ruling out some additional growth.
Well, I don't want to say this out loud, right? But I probably have to. Is that if you were going to market a listing on Facebook, and Facebook already know everything from your inside leg measurement to when you got married to when you had a baby to all of that sort of thing. We know that from, you know, like what CoreLogic and Quantium have done together in their ability to be able to boost
the predictive analytics
posts to the right audience. You know, the mind kind of boggles at where Facebook might go with this.
Well, they would actually, you know, sort of the ability to be able to market it directly to the appropriate audience is not out of the realms of possibilities.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting stuff.
President Zuckerberg. okay, then. Moving right along to the more exciting world of franchise news. So, obviously, the agency have sort of continued their expansion along with the, you know, the big Lane and Horn office at Bondi and Coogee joining the group. I remember those guys from doing some CPD training. So, hello if you're listening.
Yeah, the Lang family. They've been around for a while area. So, it's a big move for them joining the group. And also, it's awards that keep on giving. We got the official wrap up of the international awards for Ray White with Ray White Remuera in New Zealand coming up for the third year in a row. So it's a massive coup for those guys.
Yeah, and Megan Jafford and the team who are, you know, who's in charge of that office, obviously one of the most recognised leaders in the industry, and congratulations to them. This year was also 89 years ago that LJ Hooker set up shop in Maroubra in the Department of Anniversaries.
Year.
Yeah, I want to go to the party next year when they turn 90. And they've also raised over $7 million in fundraising in that time, so...
Good. That's an amazing amount
great,
of money.
Great work from those guys.
Yep.
Okay, so McGrath, like they've finally sold some of those Millers Point properties, those Millers Point, the old workers' houses. So
yeah, they would have been fantastic for the block, wouldn't they?
Oh, man, they would have been amazing for the block. But
imagine the
paperwork. Ghost stories and all sorts of stuff. Like, you know, like we walk past those sometimes and it's just, you know, like the architecture and all that sort of thing is amazing. And
it's an incredible part of Sydney.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously that Rocks area has so much history and all the rest of it. So, you know, the red tape that would be required would be crazy.
Well, they have sold it in one lot to a developer that has done a lot of building redevelopment. So I think, you know, sort of the team over there are looking with great anticipation as to what they're going to be doing with the properties. And I think, well, the four lots that are actually sold in a row. So we'll be keeping an eye out ourselves as we do that regular trip across the bridge.
Yeah, not to buy them or anything like that, because we're just publishers, but, you know, like, we're interested to see what happens, and I really hope that they maintain
The character.
Character and the history. And also this week, so Stephen Box announced that he's rejoined McGrath to the corporate office
he's
to cover the Northern.
Things,
he has. He's scaled Mount Everest, so...
Everest to the northern beaches of Sydney.
Yeah, very experienced campaigner, and congratulations to Stephen and all the best on the new adventure.
I think there's also that were revealed yesterday the REIV awards. So on Friday they announced the finalists for the awards for excellence, REIV.
Yeah.
Best of luck for everyone that's going to be up for the gongs.
Yeah, and I saw O'Brien's name in there a few times. So O'Brien, of course, on the cover of EPM magazine, and spoke recently at Arkham. Love those guys. Great business, and good luck to everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that sort of wraps up kind of the news, but we've had some really popular stories on the website this week, and I guess a couple of them here. The first one, I think the most popular story of the week, Ray White have actually got someone who's just ticked over $1 billion in sales, and they're saying that he...
It's not who you think either.
Yeah, it's not who you think it is. I know you're all jumping to conclusions right now, but... So Michael Willems, he's actually a commercial sales guy that works for Ray White Surfers Paradise. So he's just gone over $1 billion in settled sales. He's been in the industry for quite a long time and, by all accounts, a gentleman, a scholar, and a very quiet achiever. But what was interesting about Michael's story, I thought, is he actually has a bit of a productivity tip that, you know, is actually from the future. So...
Yeah, look, I thought it was an absolute cracker. Like, everyone's talking about how to actually reclaim time in your day. And Michael actually sat down and worked out where his time was being spent. And he found the numbers, fell out, was doing 15 hours
driving
a week, driving his car, where, you know, so as we all know, that's completely unproductive time. You can't really do anything. You can't be, you know, sort of sending texts, emails. You can be talking to people, but you still got to dial their numbers and so forth.
Well, that's right. Even that new Apple iOS update, iOS 11, that's out this week. If you've got 2.3 gig of space on your iPhone, I highly recommend updating. But if you don't, I'd stay away from it. But there's actually like a driver mode on that iOS now, so you can actually
the gadget,
which is like a do not disturb.
But anyway, Michael, he saw this opportunity for being able to reclaim this 15 hours. So instead of spending the extra 15 hours when you get home and interrupting family life, the guy went out and got himself a driver.
It's like a PA, but different, right? Because like he's driving the car, and so from the second, you know, Michael gets in the car,
head down,
game on. Like, you know, like planning his day, making his calls, you know, working his database, all that sort of stuff. And then, you know, like on the way home, same thing. Like I can do that. You know, because some other people, like in the corporate world, like we've both had corporate jobs before, and you can do that sort of thing like on the train, but you know, like real estate doesn't really lend itself to that, you
doesn't
know
really
sort
lend
of
itself to public transport
yeah no it's not really a public transport kind of job. So that was really, really interesting, and once again, you know, like Michael was very much about the, you know, there's no silver bullets to success or anything like that. It's just, you know, pure hard work. But
it's a great read, so you know, so definitely
read.
Have a check it out.
Number one on the website this week. That
indeed.
Was maybe until today, but you know, like we'll come to that one in a second. So
there's also another well-read piece, which is probably more around just keeping yourselves up with the compliance side of things. Fair Trading did a nice roundup of their must-dos, and
so that's New South Wales.
Yeah, New South Wales side of things. So some of the important dates coming up in the next couple of months. So that was quite an interesting one as well, particularly just to keep yourself up to speed.
Yeah, so if you're in any doubt about your audit deadlines, fire safety tips, tenant security tips, you can now serve tenant notices via email. Like if an email address is the agreed method of communication between yourself and the tenant on the form, then you can do that. And there's also, you know, don't forget that, you know, you guys in Sydney, remember there was that whole hoo-ha about Airbnb and the government relaxing restrictions on certain areas, because in Sydney, you know, some people might not know this, there are certain areas which are deemed holiday areas, or you know, and Airbnb is actually illegal. Like you can't actually, you know, people still do, but they're not actually supposed to put their property on Airbnb, because you know it's quite restrictive on the hotels and things like that. And you've also got residential areas, you know, like think about the beaches and stuff like that. So the New South Wales government earlier in the year wanted to relax those restrictions.
Yeah, there was a fair bit of hoo-ha that went on, and they put out a number of talking points to consider, and a lot of that was around involving body corporate in those discussions as to, you know, so the body corporate's got the ability to be able to approve or not approve short-term rentals,
because
degree of frequency. Yeah, you know, so noise and all that sort of stuff as well.
Just disruptive comments aside, you know, there are some residents in those buildings that actually don't want to be living amid a constant party.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, so some of the other things they were talking about was, you know, sort of if a short-term letting premises, whether it should pay more from a body corporate side of things, because there's more people coming through the property.
Yeah,
and
more wear and tear on all of the utilities.
Yeah,
yeah, so
interesting stuff there, though.
It is interesting stuff, and you know, if you want to have a say about that, don't keep quiet about it. The government are taking comments now, so now is the time. If you've got something to say, you know what to do.
It's not often we talk about colours, Sam.
Oh, what, home decor?
Home decor.
Yeah. What's trending in homes at the moment? So, Dulux in the UK have released their colour of the year, and it's called Heartwood, and it's a cross between a smoky taupe. Is that how you say that?
Taupe
and a dusty mauve.
It's not quite the yeah.
It kind of sounds kind of hideous to me, but just to be blunt,
it's a little bit Laura Ashley, isn't it?
It sounds a little too Laura Ashley for me, but
Yeah, look, I don't think it's quite the swags and tails that my mum did when she was an interior designer. Hi, Mum.
Yeah, but...
They certainly, you know, sort of put a nice colour palette together. And it's a good, you know, if you've got a client or an investor wondering what they should be doing with the lime green wall, maybe heartwood is the answer.
Yeah, maybe heartwood is the answer. They're also saying that those earthy colours bring balance, connection, and they speak of community. So that's a lot for one colour to speak of, but there you go.
Actually, you saw something really fun this week, didn't you?
I love that.
Augmented reality app.
Yeah, so if you're confused in any way about augmented reality, IKEA, our favourite shop that, you know, we always get lost in, IKEA built an augmented reality app and it looks bloody awesome.
So think Pokemon Go for IKEA.
With furniture, yeah. So as usual, it's not available on the Australian App Store yet, but judging by reaction in the US, we can't wait to see what we can do with it here.
So the gist of it is, you turn on the camera of your phone, you crank up this app, you can choose your furniture, and you can put the furniture on the floor wherever you are. There's a link for the Twitter moments on the notes below. But I saw one of them where they were putting lounges on a train platform.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And then there was this rocking horse that, you know, like had, you know, appeared in all these different places. But
the plan is you can actually sort of select the furniture in a bare room or even a furnished room and put the furniture there and see how it'll actually look.
In your house, yeah.
It's so incredible, you know, stuff.
Yeah, so be, one to maybe sort of have on speed dial at the opens.
Absolutely.
You know, just in case someone's going, well, I don't know what my furniture would look like in this house.
Think about it. If you had an iPad that was sitting there, that you would have the app already, and then you could basically sort of like walk around with people. Yeah. Particularly be good with vacant possessions. So, be a very interesting one.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's that app. And then, you know, there's a few other things sort of, like going around. So Harcourts have now joined forces with House Rules 2017. I'm sure there's a few of you out there that are fans of that show. So they've joined up with Sean and Ella.
In Tasmania.
We can't leave out Tassie. So they've launched Harcourts at Home with Sean and Ella, to provide that extra level of staging in homes.
Yeah, and I think, you know, so we must be approaching the block finale shortly, because all of the social media promotion of the upcoming auctions are coming up. So I think, yeah, so I saw an amazing number. They got 610,000 likes on the Facebook page and 590,000 following it. Now, that is a social media following.
Yeah. Well, it's a popular show. How can you not have that many followers when you've got Sticks and Wombat? Look, good luck to all the auctioneers sort of heading up to the block auctions, as always. We know it's a little bit different than your standard auction, but, Greg McCutcheon from Real Estate Bookings, he's been working with some of the guys from Noel Jones and, also gave our readers some social media tips. Mm. If you're not doing a block auction, they still work. So, and that was quite well read this week as well. On the home stretch now, Mark.
We are. One of the most read articles or game this week was another one from the favourite from Jed Xavier, How to Grow Your Business in Less Time. Look, there was a lot of takeaways there. I think there were 9 tips he gave out of that particular article.
Yeah,
did you take out of it, Sammy?
The one that I really liked was where he said, play to your strengths. Don't become a mini clone of another agent.
And I've got exactly the same one written down here.
Oh.
You know, because there's only one of you, isn't there? There's no point in trying to be someone else. Imitation is not required if it's not your strength.
Yeah, and so, you know, like, the other thing is, like, we've been sort of doing a bit of strengths work with the Transform Masters guys. So if you are unsure of what your strengths are, because your strengths are actually your unique selling point. Like, if someone says, you know, why should I buy from you? And you don't have the answer ready for that, you don't know what you're really strong on. You know, I'd highly recommend that you go do the free survey on a website called Via Strengths. And it will at least give you an idea of, you know, like, are you a people person? Is honesty one of your strengths? Is integrity one of your strengths? Is humour one of your strengths? You know, like me, I'm funny.
Hilarious.
is creativity one of your strengths? You know, so that you can actually sort of put together, you know, a bit of an elevator pitch about yourself, because it'll tell you what you're strong at. And then you can say, well, I'm a creative sales results focused professional that is able to have the straight conversations, and I love being around people and suggesting new ideas. Like, you know, just for example, that was off the top of my head.
Yeah, no, look, it's incredibly valid. And, you know, so having that clarity around what your unique selling proposition is paramount. Interesting we picked the same one.
Yeah, and the other thing, of course, is love your buyers. So, I mean, out of the 9 tips from Jet, they're all good, but, you know, like I think, you know, we've talked a lot about buyers in the magazine, you know, all year, really. And, you know, buyers are your future sellers, and I don't think you can ever go wrong in showing those buyers some love, even if you don't have something for them. Look at the outcome that they want rather than the outcome that you want.
Yeah, interesting one. I know it's a little bit of a segue off this one, but, you know, so that keeping in contact with the buyers is something that, you know, so we've been talking a lot about recently as well. So, you know, they're the challenging activities to keep front and centre of your buyers, so that they, when they do need an agent, you're the one.
Yeah, and I think, you know, going the extra mile. What does Stephanie Dobro say? She says there's no traffic on the extra mile.
That's right. Boom. No one's there.
Yeah, no one's there. Josh Pyatt, who's a coach in New South Wales, he's actually written us another article. So, you know, he's sort of about the busy work in real estate. So looking at your phone 150 times a day, and, you know, we know that that's really easy to do. But his, you know, his article was a bit of a back to basics kind of thing about, you know, like 8 different sort of steps to becoming more productive and focusing on those dollar productive activities. So I guess if you're starting out in real estate, that might be a really good one to check, because it actually does break down in bullet points those 8 core activities that you should do in any day to generate more business. I mean, I sort of, there's one there that I particularly like. It's about clean data, because, you know, we're putting together the technology issue of the magazine right now, which goes to print in a week. And, you know, I still see the agent's database being the key thing, and there are a lot of other people who are saying the same thing, is that, you know, you've got to have clean data. We've talked about this ad nauseum with people like Eddie Seaton from Agent Box. They have this special de-duping function, but, you know, gathering good data on people and being able to work that data, I think, is absolutely key.
Yeah, absolutely. The other one I took out of there was being able to provide value through market appraisals and price updates. You know, it just basically goes to knowing more about the deeper stats in your state, city, local area, your farm area. Lisa Clayes did a piece as well from CoreLogic.
Yeah,
around, you know, sort of using data and how to, you know, instill trust and advocacy in your buyers as well. So there's a good piece there that complements, I think, Josh's article very well.
Yeah, there are some people that are very, very data driven out there, and because data is so transparent these days, if you can sort of give them the information before they've got to go and look it up themselves.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You know, everybody can grab the data if they want to.
Yeah.
But you, as the expert, how do you actually interpret the data for your clients?
Yeah. And the other thing that Josh says, which I completely agree with too, is that, you know, like, activity creates activity. So if you're sort of thinking that the phone's not ringing and that you're bored or there's nothing to do, just pick up the phone and call someone, anyone, because, you know, you never know where that one first, second, third phone call might lead. And I think too many people don't pick up the phone these days. They hide behind email.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's very easy to do, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, so on to the 2 biggest articles, or the 2 biggest things of the week. I think last week it was all about Gavin Rubenstein, and this week I have to say it's all about Matt LaHood from the agency. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Like, we had a couple of pieces from him. We had a podcast which came out today.
Yeah, so the Uncut podcast this morning, which has sort of gone nuts. A lot of people have downloaded that already and listened to it. And we actually had Sherry Storer in the office a little bit earlier doing her Transform Masters coach interview. And she said she listened to it on the way in. She said it was incredible.
Yeah.
You know, and very reflective of who Matt is as a person.
And he's got a lot of insights into his business, and also into organisational culture as well. which which is, you know, sort of spoke about at length, and we've got some additional content in there from Matt on that topic that he spoke about too.
Yeah, well, we're all completely inspired by him. I mean, you know, like, he went down to grassroots with the guys on things like, you know, running sales meetings that don't suck. You know, because we know we've all been there, people that say, you know, like, you're sort of in that death by meeting, and it's, you know, like, you sort of think, when is this going to be over? But, you know, like...
Or even worse, why am I here?
Why am I here? Yeah. But, you know, like, he actually went into some great ways to invigorate the sales team, no matter whether it's big or small or across a group of offices. You know, he talked about why he personally doesn't have a desk, you know, like, why he walks around the office of a morning to just sort of temperature check.
And he actually touched on a few, you know, sort of tricky little, you know, sort of problems that can pop up from day to day. And, you know, so I think, you know, so it was really helpful to be able to listen to his approach on things, which may not necessarily be applicable for everybody. But I think there's something in it for everyone.
Oh, I think there's definitely something in it for everyone. I've you know, I've listened to the session myself two or three times, and, you know, I pick up something new every single time. So, and I think, you know, like, what Sherry said is that it's, you know, Matt was very much about the how and not just the why. Like, you know, so we do get a lot of things through this office and through the industry that are sort of, you know, the inspirational stuff. But I think what was so great about Matt's session is that everything it was an open book. Everyone was allowed to ask the questions that they wanted to, and he just answered everything straight down the line, straight down the barrel, which is really helpful, like, exactly how he does stuff. So if you get a chance to download that podcast once this is over, and I promise me we'll be done soon. I promise you, sorry, we'll be done soon. You know, that one is really, really well worth a listen.
Look, I'm looking forward to hearing him speak at the event on, you know, in mid-November as well. So I think, you know, sort of he's got a lot of things to say, and obviously he's got a great following in the industry.
Yeah. So last but not least is actually, you know, one of my favourites, I guess. You're not supposed to have favourites, but I don't care. Like, you know, Macca is a favourite for his straight talk, you know, to do with all things real estate. And he wrote us a brilliant article about workflow, because Macca is a firm believer that you actually need to have a bit of patience, and, you know, real estate is a game of having the right process in place. And he sort of points out, I think, too, in the last, you know, in a lot of conferences, that they highlight the careers of established agents around the country, you know, million-dollar writers and things like that. And they talk about what they do. But what he's saying is the question that should be asked is, what did you do? You know, because everyone has to start from somewhere. Like, you know, so what did you do in terms of getting from zero to, let's say, hero, step by step? Because I think that's what people coming into the industry need to know. Like, if you don't have a good mentor, that's what you need to know. And you need to have a good process. Okay, one of the other interesting things that Mark does say in that article is, you know, he says that the days of the single agent are diminishing, and we've seen that as a trend coming quite some time. And so this whole leadership piece is really important, and this is why we are running an event in partnership with Claudio and Cena on November the 14th, which you're looking forward to, aren't you? You're looking forward to seeing Matt Hall. I know you've been following those Red Bull Air races. At every single moment that you can. And, I mean, I am too. I think he's a great guy. And I think, you know, like, we might have just about swung the Red Bull Wings team to come along too, which would be very exciting. No promises yet. But if you want to come along to that event, we've got some super speakers. We've got Matt LaHood will be speaking, Chris Hanley. We've got Julie Masters, who will be speaking on how to dominate in a social age. Tons of stuff going on there. The tickets are still on early bird at the moment at $395. But if you use my code, I know the editor, you'll get them for $345. And that's about it for this week. Thanks for joining us again, Mark.
Thanks, Sam. It's been a cracker as usual, and looking forward to next week.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so don't forget to book your tickets to the event, eliteagent.com.au/win2018. as usual.
Because we want you to win 2018 with your team.
Absolutely. And this is for not only for existing leaders, but also leaders that
aspiring leaders
in the industry.
Yep.
All of the links that we've mentioned in this podcast are going to be down below. And whatever you do, have an awesome weekend and look forward to talking to you next week.
Yeah, have a great weekend. And if you haven't downloaded Matt LaHood's podcast, do that now. We will see you soon.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.